Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Happy to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon, now into your Tuesday evening. We've talked some hockey, we've talked some baseball, and now it's time to talk a little basketball. Cleveland Cavaliers, believe it or not, will begin their season in just a couple of weeks. There are times where it feels like this offseason has been going on for just a few weeks, and then there are times where it feels like this offseason has been going on since 1945. Here to tell us more about the Cleveland Cavaliers is the Cavs beat reporter for the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette. Rick Nolan is with us. Rick, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
So far, so good. Last night, wine and gold scrimmage. What were your major takeaways from that scrimmage last night?
Well, the huge news came afterward when Tyronn Lue confirmed that Kevin Love is going to be this team's starting center to start the regular season. They're going to use Crowder and LeBron James as what they view as interchangeable players at the forward spot, with Crowder taking the tougher defensive assignment each night, and Tristan Thompson's going to come off the bench and seemed pretty okay with that. Took it like a professional and said his new goal would be to try to be sixth man of the year. So pretty big news. It's something I predicted would happen prior to the start of training camp. I just I'd be lying if I said I thought it was going to happen this soon. But it's a way of creating more spots for a lot of talent, particularly at the forward position. So and it gets you some more three-point shooting in your starting lineup. Because if you're going to start a backcourt of Rose and Wade, you're going to be a little lacking in that area now. JR still could be the starter. That's the shooting guard is the one spot that we still don't know about for sure. So I think it was a move that was going to be made at some point. So I think Ty Lue thought that might as well do it from the get-go and work our way through it as the, 82 games progress.
You mentioned that Tristan Thompson seemed to handle the news with no problems whatsoever. He's got a new goal in mind to be the sixth man of the year. So far, it seems like he's handled that well, knowing his personality and being around him quite a bit the last few years. Is this something you think he's going to continue to be okay with as the season progresses?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, honestly, he has his limitations. He does a couple things extremely well, but he's not very good in any areas of offense other than getting offensive rebounds. So I think he'll benefit from playing more against second-team guys and just being give it all he has for as long as he has. He's a defensive specialist and an offensive rebounding specialist who can't really score. And has no real range outside of layups. So I think he's kind of made for the role, quite honestly. And, with the changes the Cavs have had in the offseason, I think maybe even he might have seen that this was a possibility because he didn't seem completely shocked or taken aback by it. It doesn't hurt that he has his contract already as well. So he's tied up for the next 4 years, I think, and making pretty good money to be a reserve. So I would expect him to continue to be professional from the outset and continue to be that throughout the season.
Rick, there are a lot of bodies on this roster right now. I mean, there are a ton. You talked about that logjam, especially with the forward spot. Is there a chance that we could see someone somewhat surprising not make the final cut?
I'm already not counting Kay Felder and Eddie Tavares. I think they go for sure, and one of them signs a two-way deal with the G League. But that still leaves 16 guys, and my hunch is Richard Jefferson is not going to make this team if they're unable to make a trade to rid themselves of a guaranteed contract and not take a player back in return. If they can get a pick for somebody instead of a player, then I think he makes it. But otherwise, there's just too many players at small forward, and I think he's close to last on the list, and he's 37 years old. So I would, if they are unable to find a taker for him or somebody else that they're willing to part with, I think he might be odd man out.
What about Shumpert, too? Because that was a name that just kept coming up at trade rumors in the offseason. This is another guy we're not entirely sure where he fits in. I mean, you talked earlier, too, about how if they're going to go at the backcourt of Rose and D-Wade, that would knock J.R. Smith back into that second rotation. So where does that leave Shump? I mean, do you think he's still guaranteed a spot if they can't move him?
Well, he's guaranteed a spot because he's making $10 million, whereas Jefferson's making about $2.5 million. So if you're going to eat a salary, you're going to eat the $2.5 million from the 37-year-old guy before you eat the $10 million from the 27-year-old guy or however old he is. They would love to trade Shump, don't get me wrong. I think they would trade him for just about anything, quite honestly. But you have to have another team willing to make that deal, and teams aren't exactly lining up to take on Iman Shumpert at that $10 million a year for three more years.
We're talking with Rick Nolan, Cavs beat reporter for the Chronicle-Telegram and the Medina Gazette here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, everybody's got a different expectation level of Wade and Rose, and I think, you know, when we look at these two guys, certainly you look at them differently than you may have looked at them 5 years ago. We just don't know what kind of players we're getting in those two guys. But early on, just watching these guys in practice and seeing them to some degree in the Wine and Gold scrimmage last night, Rick, what are your expectations of D-Wade and Rose?
Well, Rose at moments last night looked like a 21-year-old. He had three fantastic, extremely quick, explosive drives and finishes at the rim. Now, it wasn't a scrimmage, and it wasn't the greatest defensive game plan in the world throughout that. But he looks really explosive, really healthy. The Cavs are probably knocking on wood about that, given his history, but and he didn't, I don't think he even took a jump shot last night, so that's an area you're going to have to keep an eye on. I think you could do a whole heck of a lot worse than him as your point guard until Isaiah Thomas is ready. And Wade, I thought, looked really fresh last night as well. Interesting thing there is he may end up being, there's a chance he could come off the bench, Andy. Because he played so well with the second unit that he could kind of be the backup point guard slash playmaker, a little bit of two-guard guy for them if they elect to go that route. Now, I personally think he could still start, come out of the game midway through the first quarter, and still be that guy that runs the show with the second unit. He looked extremely good doing it in the second period last night. He had 5 assists and a lot of drive and kickouts, particularly to Kyle Korver. So we're going to see how this pans out. It's going to probably take a while before we know for sure, unless Ty Lue just comes out and tells everyone, because LeBron's not going to play tomorrow night. So my hunch is that JR and Wade both start, and they kind of go small with Calderon and Rose playing mostly the point guard. But excuse me. I think this is the one area on the team we don't know as far as the starting unit. There's reasons, a number of reasons, to pick either guy, being Wade or JR. I think it's just going to come down to what Ty Lue feels best. And I think the fact that they now have Love, Crowder, and LeBron on the front line as opposed to Tristan in there, they already have more three-point shooting there than they ever would have had with Tristan there. So now I think there's a little bit less of a need to keep JR with the starters for that reason, because you have, you know, three guys on your front line that are good shooters. So you could go Wade, but you could also think that Wade is so good with the second unit that, well, why don't we leave well enough alone and leave JR with the starters. And then, you know, if Wade comes off the bench, I don't know how Tristan's going to win Sixth Man of the Year, because Wade could be a dynamite sixth man on this team. And he is another guy who, he said his ego is not nearly big enough that he wouldn't do anything he was asked to do. So I don't think it's going to be an issue if they do ask him to come off the bench. And I don't think it has to be an 82-game answer. If JR struggles and things aren't going the way you want, you have the luxury of putting in a 12-time All-Star as your starter, 20 games in, 30 games in, 50 games in, if you think that's going to help you. So I think it's kind of a win-win situation. If I was a betting man, I don't know what I'd bet. I think I'd bet that JR would be the starter, even though I'm convinced that Dwayne Wade is a much, much, much better player.
Rick, I know during the NBA Finals last year, a lot of people talked about the fact the Warriors had a little more depth on that bench. Obviously, in the offseason, the Cavs have addressed it. Do you think these moves have been what the Cavs needed to maybe get back over that hump of the Warriors?
I do, but let's put this huge asterisk next to it. I can recall us talking about how tremendously deep they were at this time last year, too.
Sure.
And Mike Dunleavy ended up being horrible. You know, Shumpert struggled mightily. They didn't get nearly as much out of some guys on their front line as they thought they were going to get. So, yeah, I mean, I do think they're better. I think they're more athletic. I think they have more guys that are more complete basketball players than they had a year ago. I mean, Jeff Green is a guy who can be a really, really good player if he gets in the right situation and gets the right opportunities and gets to do multiple things. I mean, he could play small forward, he can play power forward for you. I think Calderon's is still a pretty good player at 36 years old, and there's a chance that he could be the guy to get cut if they think Dwayne Wade is fully capable of being their backup point guard until Isaiah gets back. So, and even Zizic looked pretty darn good for a 20-year-old big guy last night. Now, again, I'll preface it all with it was a scrimmage, and it wasn't exactly Game 7 of the NBA Finals defense being played out there, but yeah, they have tons of weapons to the point, guys, to where some really good players are going to spend a ton of time on the bench because they have, you know, they have legit 13, 14 guys that could play in somebody's top 8 or 9, and 3 or 4 of them aren't going to be here. So they're going to have to make the correct choices. Big, big pressure on Ty Lue, I think, when it comes to that this year. But also with the option, if Plan A doesn't work, you can certainly have enough talent and versatility that you can have Plan B and Plan C and Plan D. So we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, there's tons of reasons to like their depth to the point where I would almost say that it's better than Golden State's. They don't have an Andre Iguodala-type player, but beyond that, they're pretty darn good, and the Dwayne Wade acquisition just amped things up a whole nother level, I think, in terms of their talent, and that's true whether he starts or whether he comes off the bench.
Yes, all kinds of flexibility, all kinds of depth, and really all kinds of experience as well. You hit on Jeff Green there too, and really, Rick, I kind of feel like that's a guy that's really being forgotten about.
He is.
All the trades and all the pickups, all the talk about Isaiah Thomas and the hip, but people have kind of forgotten about Jeff Green. And a lot of folks like yourself who have been in and around the NBA for many, many years, people really think he could be a big-time difference maker, but this is a guy that clearly is not going to crack the starting lineup unless there's an injury. But this is a guy that could really make that second unit run.
Well, and I think that was a big reason behind the move of putting Love to center and putting Tristan on the bench, because had you not started Crowder, he was going to get the majority of minutes at both your forward spots off the bench. But now that he's in the lineup, then you've created a natural spot for Jeff Green. And you could still even, sneak in Channing Frye a few minutes here and there. So he is a very good player. He's an all-around player, one of those sinewy guys that kind of, he's not real demonstrative. He doesn't do a ton of things that overwhelm you and end up on SportsCenter, but he's an extremely efficient, well-rounded player who can defend multiple positions. Now, there was a time in this league when he was a 17 or 18 point scorer. Now he's had some real good years, and then he's had some years where he hasn't really found a niche with his teams. But I think that's more of the teams he's been on than a decline in his ability. I think he can still be a really solid guy off the bench for you. He's not going to put up monster numbers, but he can make mid-range shots. He had a monster dunk last night going to the hoop. He can defend, he can rebound a little bit, and he can pass the ball a little bit. So I agree with you. He's one of the unknowns, and it won't be known until we get a little bit ways into the season on, is he going to be a big-time top two or three guy off the bench, or is he going to fall into that area where he's the fourth or fifth guy off the bench? And my hunch is he's going to be closer to the top than the bottom, because I think he brings you things that you've lacked, and ultimately he brings you some things that match up a little bit better against a team like the Warriors and Houston, run-and-gun teams that are high-octane offenses than guys they've had in previous years. So I would expect them to make a concerted effort to get him on the floor, get him comfortable, truly identify his strengths and weaknesses as they pertain to this team, and then go forward from there. But I've always liked him. And he's like you said, he's a quiet player sometimes, but you know, he does a lot of things, and sometimes you don't notice it until you look at the box score and you see 8 points and seven rebounds. And on a team like this, that's going to be good on some nights, because you got, you know, some big time starters are going to put up big time numbers. So if he can give you that, I think he's an extremely valuable addition.
Cavaliers will take on the Atlanta Hawks in some exhibition action tomorrow. We'll have it here for you on AM 930 WEOL. Of course, the Cavs will officially start the season 2 weeks from today. Rick, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.